One of the gifts we get to bring into our time together today is a little bit of storytelling. I'll talk a little bit more about it when we get to the sermon. But one of the things our leadership was discerning and that just seemed to become very clear for us as we were asking that question of God, be thou my vision, was a vision of creating space to hear other voices and stories. And we thought as we looked at stories, there might be a wonderful opportunity for us to hear stories of our own life and history as a congregation of our own community with Miss Eleanor Lindstrom. Most of us know her as Miss Ellie. Ellie just celebrated her 90th birthday, 82 of those years. Yeah, very nice. 82 of those years have been spent here as a part of Highlands United Methodist Church. She's one of those people, and there are others, and we are grateful for the depth of stories present who carry memories of what it was like to be a child in this place, to be a young person in this place, to be growing throughout middle age in this place, and now just to continue to celebrate and be with us in all the ways you are. And so,
a girl asked me this morning if I was old.
Someone asked you if you were old?
Yes.
What did you say?
Yes.
Okay. I'll let you take that. We had a chance this week to sit and check in, and I wanted to ask you just a couple questions to start some stories.
Okay.
The idea being that this is honestly just a little bit of a preview. Next Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're going to host a storyteller time in the garage. The first half hour will be Miss Ellie just sharing stories and memories that she's put together for us. The second half hour will be a little bit of Q&A for all the things that makes us curious about. And we wanted to just take a moment to share and experience some of the stories. And so I wonder, Ellie, what are some of your earliest memories of the congregation?
Well, my earliest distinct memory is of this little white church. as a congregation, we met here in this room before we dispersed into the individual groups. And one of the things that we did was if you had a birthday, you could come and put your pennies in there. And I very distinctly remember my 8th birthday. I had 8 pennies, and I dropped them in one by one. And I remember the sunshine, and what a good feeling it was to do that. I'd like to point out, at that point, we had theater seats here.
And like the balcony seats, but everywhere.
Yeah. And there was a section of 7 or 8 here with a big aisle. Then there was a section of 14, 15 seats, and then another aisle and another section. And so when we dispersed after meeting together, the primary grades went downstairs. And the 4th grade met over here, and the 5th grade met over there, and then either 5th or 6th back there. I don't know always where the high school group went. Sometimes we met up in the balcony, but I remember in high school, and some of you probably have never been in the little tower room here that's on the level with the balcony. We had 30 teenage kids in that little square room.
We also had a bunch of kids downstairs, you said. They would divide the fellowship hall up?
Yeah, there were wires strung between the poles downstairs and to the wall, and the curtains, and then that divided the room off into, what was it, would be
like
primary,
sections, yeah.
1, 2, and 3 all met downstairs. So, and I'd like to say something here. Things were so much more formal in those days. The preacher stayed behind the pulpit, and the liturgist was over here, and the preacher didn't move around like you do. And it was very formal. And one of the things that, one of the biggest changes I know is, like I say, it was very formal. People were very nice, but I love this spirit of friendship and open and hugs and handshakes. It just feels so good to be a member of this church.
Mm-hmm. You've told me before about some of the church's community role and people gathering, and you talk about some of the things that were different before the war. And you talked about dinner. What's that about?
On a Tuesday night, I don't know whether it was every Tuesday or just once a month, but we had an all-church potluck, and it was downstairs in the dining room. And the dining room was full, 150, 200 people crammed in there. And I have to tell you, the kitchen wasn't like it is now. There was no dishwasher. There was no disposal. And instead of those nice, neat stainless steel sinks, there was a big iron double sink. And I wasn't tall enough to reach the bottom. So when I did dishes, and I did a lot of them, I had to hang over the edge on my tummy, so my feet didn't touch the floor. And somewhere. When I say I wash dishes down there, if I say I did a million, I'm probably not exaggerating.
Someone at the first service pointed out that actually we have this nice new industrial dishwasher downstairs. Ellie's actually who donated the money for us to get the new dishwasher. We get why. The other thing I think about is you've seen a lot of change throughout the congregation's life. I wonder what a moment of big change you might remember.
Probably the biggest change is when the building was added to there in the back, and we each had our own room. We had a place to call our own where we could gather and meet and just share each other's lives. So I think probably the next big thing was the elevator. The elevator didn't come with the building to begin with. A member of our congregation, a family, their little daughter developed rheumatoid arthritis at the age of 3 and had to be carried so much of the time. And so her dad, Bob Weaver, was an engineer, and he spearheaded the campaign to put in the elevator, and I am so grateful at this point. But that was a real blessing, and it made a lot of difference to that, to us. And we put in the ramp for the handicap so that wheelchairs could get down there. But before that, there was a shuffleboard painted on the floor on both sides of the dining room. And as kids and high school kids, after our MYF meeting, we would go down and have cake and punch or cookies or whatever, and then play shuffleboard. And we also did some square dancing down there, and square dancing around those poles was quite a challenge.
Well, Ellie, thank you for taking a minute. We look forward to next week, where we'll get a chance to hear some more stories and some reflections on the neighborhood and its growth and change.
Okay.
Much appreciate you being with us for both services so we could hear and listen and celebrate some of these stories. Thank you so much.
I'd love to see you all.
It was quite an honor and privilege to get to sit at Ellie's kitchen table and start hearing stories and thinking about the ones we might want to share. And let me tell you, there's more. Oh, there are so many more stories. But that's appropriate, because ours is a tradition of stories. I mean, it's neat that we get to talk about storytelling on the day that we hand our third graders Bibles. We had 5 kids at the first service, 1 more here, and we handed them a book that is filled with stories. Stories of life, stories of God's love, as you heard Mr. Brandon describe. It is an amazing thing that we have this tradition of stories. The Hebrew Bible, sometimes called our Old Testament, began as a series of stories that were shared around campfires or on long days taking walks. People would turn to those who have been with them for a while and say, "Tell me a story." And they would hear how things have been. And then, because it was so important, those stories would be remembered so that they could be passed on to others and others. So that at a certain point, the story being shared wasn't from the person who first lived it, but from the most recent person to have received the blessing of hearing it. Then in the New Testament, Jesus, I mean, he was the quintessential storyteller. I mean, Jesus would take a simple question that many people might have answered with a yes or a no, and he would instead tell 6 different stories over the course of 12 different pages in our Bible, somewhat answering the question while actually just raising like 20 more. That's what stories would do. He would share stories because they have a way of sharing something bigger than the words that make them up. Stories are powerful because they connect us and they open us. Now, Jesus didn't just tell stories. Jesus also created space for other people to share their stories. Now, sometimes Jesus would create space so that the storyteller could find meaning and healing in sharing their own story. We see an example of this in the Gospel of John in the 4th chapter, when Jesus goes to a well in the middle of the day when no one should be there and finds a Samaritan woman who was unwelcome any other time, gathering water on her own. And he sat and he asked her a few questions and he let her tell of her life and experience with listening ears and an open heart and no judgment. And as you read that story, what you find is in creating space for her to share her story, knowing that someone cared about her story, introduced her to a life that she had not known. when typically in her day-to-day life she'd been surrounded by people who just assumed they knew her story. Other times Jesus would create space for someone's story so that the group listening could see the world anew. There's a great example of this in the Gospel of Luke in the 19th chapter when Zacchaeus gets called down out of the tree and Jesus brings a house party to the guy's joint. Suddenly his house is filled with all these people, people who have said, "Oh, Jesus, we want to follow you and learn from you." And then it got real. And they're like, "Wait, you want us to go where, with who, and listen to what?" This despised and isolated tax collector sits in conversation with Jesus, an entire household full of people who had been following Jesus around, listened and watched as Jesus' promise of new life was unfolding and blossoming before them in the most unlikely of places. New life was unfolding and blossoming in the story of Zacchaeus' humanness. It changed everyone listening. They'd never thought to look at the lives of regular people, broken people, as human as you get people. But that's who Zacchaeus was, and that's where life was found. It's funny, when we hear the story of Zacchaeus, so easy to focus on Zacchaeus' experience of that dinner together. It's easy to overlook the crowd, the people who watched Jesus create space for someone's story, people who then got to listen to Zacchaeus' life story and left his home just as changed as he did. Jesus knew that inviting stories to be told could transform those who listen. A few weeks ago, we gathered a group, a sort of a cross-section of the congregation for what we called a visioning retreat. And for that process, we actually used stories. We used our own stories and experiences. We also used the stories of life all around us, hoping these stories would focus our work. As we looked at the gifts that people had to offer, we were reminded of the vast and varied collection of stories present in our congregation and in our neighborhood. There are a lot of stories here. Likewise, when we looked at the needs of our congregation and community, and mind you, it may be our congregation and community we talked about, but I would tell you our country as a whole needs this just as much. There is a deep need for people to hear the stories of those who have life experiences different than their own. We need this. I tell you, our lives can get so narrow in experience and relationship. We start to only hear things from people who think like us and spend time with people who are like us, and before we know it, we have missed out on so much life has to offer. And as a place, a congregation that is seeking to build a home where all belong, we have the opportunity to expand these experiences, to expand these relationships by creating space for stories. Stories that offer us a perspective outside of our own. Stories that will open us to new ideas. Stories that can increase our empathy, that can show us another person's values in ways we never knew, especially if we've made assumptions about what someone's story was. So we are in the beginning of bringing these stories to you. We want to bring them to worship. We want to bring them to opportunities of storytelling in the garage. And if you are hearing this and thinking, "This sounds so cool," we would love to have your help in making that happen. Please speak to Ashley, speak to me. We're gathering together a team of people that'll begin planning and thinking and dreaming of what this vision can become. It's part of this vision to develop a once-a-month storyteller series. You get the 5-minute preview in worship that serves as an invitation for you to come to the one about a week later, where there will be an hour of listening to stories and engaging together so that we all might grow. I'm very grateful to Ellie Lindstrom for being our first storyteller. Like I said, she'll be in the garage next Sunday at 2, and she'll take about a half an hour to just share the stories as they come, and then we get to ask questions and hear and learn together. As we thought of perspectives that were outside of many of our own experiences, actually, one of the gifts that was named as we started thinking about gifts in the community, there's one up here that says, people who have lived in the neighborhood and know the history of our community. Well, Ellie's one of those people. Ellie, along with so many others, can offer us a perspective that's far longer than most of this room have when it comes to the neighborhood or congregation. Chances are, if we picked 6 random people in this room and added together how long you've lived in the Highlands, Ellie's got you beat, even when we add those numbers together. But what's amazing about that, and again, we have others who have called this place home for so long, if you sit and chat with Ellie long enough, there's a good chance that if you mention where you live or where a friend of yours lives nearby to this church, she's going to go, oh, I have a friend who lived there, or I have a friend that lived next door. It's an amazing thing when we find out people in this community know the people that lived in the homes before we did. In fact, there are some people in this room. Ellie has been to your house and had dinner where you eat every single day because 50 years ago, it was a dear friend of her that lived there. You see, stories from those who have come before us remind us that we are tied to a legacy that we have been entrusted with. They give us a reminder that great things have come before us and that the world as we know it didn't begin once we arrived. For our storyteller series, we hope to have storytellers from a plethora of backgrounds, offering us gifts in so many different ways. We're working to build the appropriate relationship that we might invite a family that has been displaced by rising rent costs. Someone who can tell us what it's like to have to leave the neighborhood you've grown up with, tell your kids they're leaving their school because the rent just tripled. We're also looking for someone and are in conversation to bring in this person to tell us a story of what it's like to live with food insecurity, the difficulty of hunger and not knowing where your next meal comes from. We've already had the offer in the beginning of the conversation to hear from a person who's living in recovery from alcohol dependence, who looks forward to sharing the story of what that might be so it could offer hope and courage for anyone else who needs to make that change in their life. We have a relationship with parents who opened their home to foster children, who would invite us to consider how that can bless the world and change lives. There is no limit to the stories that will widen our perspective. I mean, the world is large, and our vision can be so tunneled. Every single story is a gift. And so I invite you to join us in listening to the stories that will be shared. I invite you to consider if you have a story that we might get a chance to listen to. I also invite you to consider with compassion the stories of those you do not understand, but about whom you may have made assumptions. For God is speaking to us through the stories of others, if we would but listen. Amen.